This is the Rob Anybody and Dawn Show. Three decades of settling arguments like, is it a GIF or a JIF? You're welcome. And now back to Rad Radio.
A couple of emails, rad@radradio.com. Yes, I can feel the disappointment already in the fact that, not fact, in the possibility that maybe my appetite has stabilized and I'm not just going to get fatter and fatter.
I don't want you to get fatter and fatter. I just want to hear the fun stories of you finishing a plate.
Andrea wrote in and said, hey, Rob, because I reported that just out of nowhere on Friday, and it continued always through the weekend, I didn't have this desire to snack as much, eat as much, finish my plate.
No, you're acclimating.
And this is what my doctor said would happen. That takes me back to the way I was taught to eat as a kid, of when you're done, you know. That if you take those two more bites, you're going to be uncomfortable full plate. So you just stop. And it just, there was still food on the plate.
This is such a conflict because I'm like, it makes me so happy. Like, that's your body's adjusting, right? Your mind, everything. Everything's adjusting, which is so good and amazing. And it warms my heart. But boo, not entertaining.
Andrea says, it's likely, see, I can just tell, it's likely that she means it that way. It's likely that your appetite is stabilized.
Right? Boo.
However, I've noticed that when it gets warmer, I eat less. Maybe that has something to do with it.
There's still hope for fall and winter.
I will miss the Rob fat jokes. Well, that's a proven thing in a lot of humans, the whole winter fat thing, because you get less active and things you eat more.
Well, what about like things like you really enjoy? Like, I don't know exactly what your favorite food is, but I mean, do you overindulge when it's something that's like your favorite? For example, mine would be sushi. I would overindulge and eat till I'm tired with sushi. Is that similar with you if there's a certain thing out there?
Can I answer for you?
Sure.
And maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I'm not with you 24/7. I have never in my life. He makes a fabulous Thanksgiving meal. And I would imagine that's one of his favorite meals. Yet I've never in my life seen him clear the plate or even overdo it.
Oh, the self-control is strong with him.
Yeah. We've gone on vacations where it's lovely meal, and it's he loves steak, loves a good cut of steak, and I've never, you'll order the big one. I don't know why you should be ordering it. You should
be ordering 4 meals.
Yeah, you should be ordering a petite filet because that's about what you eat of that damn ribeye.
So I understand why, maybe I'm wrong, but when it comes to putting together a large meal, especially if you're cooking practically everything in the kitchen, you're around it all day. It's like, that's the last thing that I want to eat. Like,
right.
If I'm slaving over the food in the kitchen, it's like, I'll just have some of this because I'm just like, I've looked at this too much. I've been in it too much. Is that the case with you for Thanksgiving?
He didn't slave over the lovely ribeye meal at the fine steakhouse.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to rationalize that other one.
It is. Yeah. No, it is that. But Dawn's right, too. I mean, it's how I think that I will find myself eating more than I used to, but not as much as I have been the last 3 weeks. But we'll see.
Because after you have slaved over what you, I mean, that is a big meal to, like, make for Thanksgiving. The next day, you're not. It's leftovers. Do you overindulge on those ever? I would say no.
No, I mean, no. I don't over. No, right, I'm not. Yeah. You know, an overindulger. Other than with what led me to my appetite being overindulging, I kind of lost control of my ability to not overindulge in alcohol over the last couple of years. So
the answer to your question is no. He's never been fun with food until this time. We got a small little stint with it.
I can't think of a food that I ever have or would over. Like, oh well, if it's this,
It is pretty cool that you are able to do that because with delicious foods, in my case, I'll eat it and I'm like, oh, I know I'm a little full. I should probably stop right here. But then I'm like, oh, I want to taste it again. I want more in my mouth. God damn it.
It's cool, but it's boring. He's that pregnant woman who craves broccoli. And you're like, wow, whoa, oh, I can't get enough broccoli.
With ice cream.
No, right? Aww. Not even that. Oh, I remember.
You know, broccoli does sound good right now. Now that you said that.
Will and Grace, if y'all even remember that show, Google it. Deborah Messing was
the original
version.
Not when they brought it back.
So she was on. Oh God, we're still. Now we're going back again. Sorry, she was a guest when she was pregnant on the Oprah show, and everyone's like, well, what are you craving? What have you craved? And she's like, oh, I just cannot get enough. It was cereal, and it wasn't even a sugary cereal. And we're all like, womp, womp, move it along.
Another womp, womp reaction from Eric. I know how he means this, so I'll try to read it in the right tone. I'm sure your appetite has gone back to normal, Rob. I think Rob is taking all of the body shaming more seriously than he lets on, and that we have actually successfully shamed him into bulimia.
Yeah, well, hopefully not that bad, but
wow,
yeah,
sir.
Maybe he's got Ozempic on board.
It's not dark. Speaking of, I use that as a way to bring in the Ozempic topic, which I know is a very, very hot, controversial subject, and on one side, there's all of these amazing health benefits they think they're finding. As it's on the market more for people other than just diabetes users or need, not users, you're not a diabetes user, sufferers. But wait a minute, there's all these side effects that are known, potentially even worse than what we think they are, internal organs. And one of them was, and Dawn told a story of somebody similar to this. We played a clip of Jillian Michaels, the trainer, who said half of the people that get on it, they get off it out after like a couple weeks because of what it does to them. This is from Marcella.
Hey, Marcella.
Said, I tried Ozempic for 2 weeks a year ago, and I just couldn't do it. The acid reflex, the indigestion, the nausea, the diarrhea. It was too much.
Oh.
I hated it. Okay, so there's that.
That's awful.
Marianne, good morning.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Hi. What's up, girl?
I basically am taking one of these meds. I'm relatively new to it. I'm about 3 weeks in, so it's obviously very interesting to me, and obviously I have my own personal experience with it so far. So
yeah.
I figured if you had questions about it or if you think something would be helpful, I would be honestly answering them for you.
One question I have that one of my friends that's on it could not answer.
Sure.
Do you have to be on it forever? Or because it takes, from the way I understand it, it takes away the thought of food, the craving of food, and so you don't eat as much. But like, so do you have to be on it forever, or what happens? Have they told you what are you supposed to do when you go off of it? Because you don't have this drug in you anymore, changing that thought process in your brain.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's one of the reasons why I waited quite a while.
Waited.
I mean, I waited nearly 6 months. Haha. I waited nearly 6 months to start because I don't like the prospect of being on something forever. But the simple answer is a lot of people choose. It's a maintenance dose, right? So you can be on it for an extended period of time, or you can go off of it. And it's supposed to, basically, it should be giving you the ability to train you so that you are eating better and better portions, and once your habits start falling in line with this, everything is functioning properly at this level. A lot of people do take a maintenance dose, which then goes down to about, it seems about once a month. I'm in a support group where I hear all the good and all the bad, and people that have been on it for a long time and people that are on maintenance doses.
And that's not unusual. There's a lot of drugs that do work that way where you wean down to a smaller dosage and keeps you going kind of thing.
Smart, though, that she's in the support group.
Hi, caller lady. It's Kyle. I have a weird question. Does it affect your sleep at all? And have you had any weird dreams?
So my personal, it's funny because I was listening to everything you said, and I know there's legitimacy to everything that you guys said, because every med is not for every person. There's meds that are amazing, but it's not for every person. In the group, so me personally, no, it's not. It's not made me sleep worse. I have to get up to, well, I've always had to get up to pee a lot, but I have to get up to pee like one more time per night. But other than that, it's not affected my sleep. It's not given me weird dreams.
No.
I thought it was funny. I know this is probably TMI, but the one thing you mentioned about in decreased libido, so far, I feel like it's actually done the opposite for me. Not in a huge way, not like a weird way, but just in a, I feel better. So the main thing, and I'm not saying that everybody should be on it, because there's a lot of women in this group that once they kind of reveal their starting weight, they'll say starting weight, goal weight, current weight, right? Sometimes their starting weight is 160 and they're 5'7". That's my goal weight.
Oh,
so their starting weight is what my goal weight is, and they want to get down to 125, and they're having all these side effects. Now, that's anecdotal. I'm not a researcher. I'm not making that connection. But if you are, in my mind, a pretty decent weight, or at least by my standards of what I'm judging myself on, and you're taking a medicine and it's making you sick, not every med is going to be good for every person.
Well, see, this is the thing. As I just jump in here real quick, Marianne, sorry, is that your attitude and approach to it is, I want to believe that there's so many of you, and that I want to believe that you're the majority, because you're taking the same stance that I think most people should. I just don't see it. which is, as you said, not every drug is for every body.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this drug is fantastic for you so far, and hopefully we'll maintain that and will work out exactly the way that it should. And I love that you say, I'm not saying that everybody should take it, go out, do your research, et cetera. And that's what just seems not surprising to me, but scary about the way we're reacting to this drug in general as a society is, oh, it is the miracle.
Yeah. Like
for everyone.
The thing that was like, thank you so much for calling and sharing all that, and good luck to you on your journey. That was almost heartbreaking. But I don't have a visual, and all our bones and bodies are built different. But when I first hear 5'7", 160, and they gotta be 125, I'm like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? I don't know the situation. Maybe it was prescribed because of some health issue too or something, but it's like, are you trying to be a model again at 19? Like, what is happening? Are you a grown woman that's already gone through your women-bearing years, which can also change your body and the body? There are women even in the fitness industry. My best friend, Stephanie, is a fitness freak, has been since day one. Her body, and she keeps up on her workouts, has changed in areas and has gotten bigger, but not big, right? But not by any means. It's the natural progression of aging, having children, all of that, while still being able to be fit. But her fit right now at 50 looks much different than her fit at 25. So when I hear a woman like that, I'm like, are you trying to go back in time? What are we doing here? Who prescribed that? And I would hope they're being responsible with it and there's a legit reason. But when you just first hear it, you're like, what?
And how's the weight distributed?
Right, you know, yeah, all of that.
Honestly, my Dawn-like stance on this whole thing is we should ban scales.
Yeah.
I should just stop weighing people.
Yes, right. Because, like, how do you feel?
Right.
Really? How do you feel? Not how do you look, how do you feel? And if you want to include the health part of it, you go to the doctor without a scale and your numbers ain't right, man, right? Your blood's not mm-hmm. right. Your blood pressure's not right. Like, all of that tells way more of a story.
By the way, so she mentioned, you know, that the idea, according to her and her research and such, is that you take Ozempic for however long you take it, and then you take a smaller dose, you taper down. It's supposed to kind of rewire your brain, et cetera. And I mentioned a lot of drugs are designed that way. The drug I've mentioned multiple times that I'm taking that are supposed to curb alcohol cravings, a Camprosate, is exactly that. You take it for 90 days on the dosage they give you, you know, twice a day, this much, blah, blah, blah. But then after that, it kind of comes down to, Do you want to go to every other day? Do you want to just stop and see what happens? And hey, we've got a script ready for you. And if you notice on day two that you're craving it and you haven't, I mean, my issue is I've had barely any desire or cravings. And believe me, there's been plenty of times in the last few weeks where I should have. And I have barely even thought of it, kind of thing. So we'll see. You know, my doctor might say to me if I'm still there in another month or two, you're the prime candidate. Just go off it. And if you do on day one, you're like, give me a drink. We're going to put you back on it and start a lower.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So those kind of drugs are out there. And that brings us to this email from Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
Who says, I've been trying to lose weight forever. I'm to the point where I'm going to the doctor to see if it's normal and I just need to work harder or if this is a medical thing, blah, blah, blah. The very first time I met with my new doctor, I explained everything to him and his first option was prescribing me Ozempic. Yeah, and I'm hearing this anecdotally to your point.
This reminds me of back in the day when Prozac became a thing.
Yep, exactly.
I don't care what you went into the doctor for. Prozac! That's what, I mean, oh my God, your PMS is terrible. Prozac! You think you have perimenopause? Prozac! I don't know, did the dudes get the same thing? You went in with whatever issue and they're like, Prozac! God.
She says, I asked if it's a good idea to be taking a diabetes drug for weight loss, and he assured me it was fine. But when I did my own research, I just felt it wasn't right. I'm still trying to lose weight, but I'm just not so sure about taking drugs to do it quickly like that. I personally want more concrete evidence that it's not going to totally F up my health. Which, you know, again, it's hard to get concrete evidence when we're using a drug that's been on the market for a long time, but now we're using it for a different reason. And yeah, they did all the tests, but we do find out things later, et cetera. And it's just, it is, as the caller said, I Marianne's like the caller of the month already, with what, 8 days left in the month or so, because she's just got that right attitude of it's not right for everyone. Do your own research, make your own decisions. This is neither a pro or anti Ozempic segment. At least it's not meant to be on my part. It's just, it's amazing how many people are out there. Some screaming, it is incredible. Others saying it's a death sentence.
She just said quickly, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. See, now I'm wondering, and I don't know if my friend would want to share. I really don't, because it's not quick. Again, she checks in weekly with someone, and it is it's a shot, and it is one of these. It's 1 to 2 pounds a week. It's been numerous months now, but it's not quick. It's 1 to 2 pounds a week, which is healthy weight loss.
Right, but not so, the normal what's, I mean, that's not what Oprah experienced.
Well, then you know what? I'm very happy to hear that, because whoever is monitoring her, again, they make sure her protein, like they are very much concentrating on the nutrition part of it as well, of like all the healthy stuff and enough protein so she doesn't have that muscle loss. And they're doing all of this in such a way where it's like 1 to 2 pounds a week, and she's been happy with that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was thinking something else with the Ozempic and it craving the hunger cravings. And having you not eat so much, I'm wondering, like, the people that have that and they're not able to eat a lot, what are they eating nutritious food when they are eating, and are they putting anything that their body's going to absorb and keep them alive?
Right, and all of that is based on self-reporting, right, other than results of blood tests or things like that. I mean, they could be saying, oh, yeah, you know, I didn't go to McDonald's today, twice today.
Yeah. Well, and her person she meets with is like, I don't care. You need to get this much protein in a day. You need to get this much, like, even fiber, because it could have that problem that you were talking, that they found out with the backing up of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, this woman is monitoring her big time with the fiber, with the protein, even with carbs, like the whole thing. And it's like, you still need to trust me, you're not going to be overeating, but you have to eat this much at least. And she monitors her on that. So that's why it's also 1 to 2 pounds a week. And the thing for her that was huge, her big thing was always sugar, and it's completely, she doesn't even think about it. So this is why she likes it. And she's totally happy that it's 1 to 2 pounds a week, because maybe she has a chance of keeping it off because she did it slow.
Meanwhile, you live in a country where you can now get antidepressants prescribed to you by a person that you've never met just by going online to certain websites, talking to an alleged doctor. You may or may not have to even do a face-to-face time with them, and pretty soon you're getting mood stabilizers through the mail. How long before we're doing that with this drug? Oof. Especially with the reaction of it. And hey, if that's good or bad, you guys will all decide. I'm just here to watch the chaos. We're gonna play Treble Trouble right now. We got a pair of tickets to see Foreigner at Hard Rock Live Sacramento on Friday night, October 18th, and you're qualified for the grand prize drawing this Friday. All winners will have a chance to have their tickets. One of you will have your tickets upgraded to the front row. For Treble Trouble, you get a 3-second song clip. You have to tell us the title of the song to win. Caller 18 guesses first, then 19, then 20. And if nobody knows the song title,
Ozempic.
Droplets everywhere and no winner.
Wrong jingle.
888-989-9811 for Treble Trouble.
Anybody. And Dawn. The Rob. Anybody. And Dawn Show.